This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C. Ford.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Ludicrous kill.
Sunday, September 17th, 2006. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 132. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. The email address is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And the website is hwhq.com. I'm sorry about last week. I do not know what happened. The show disappeared the last 15 minutes of it.
It was a pretty good episode, too.
Yeah, it was. And then I had to rape it with just me talking for like the last hour and 10 minutes, which was really sad. And so I thought maybe I'll throw some music behind it. And what I was looking for, I did not have.
Mm-hmm.
So I could find, all I could find was like, it was just like too loud and people complained. So I took it, I had to redo it and took it out. Re-encoded the show, re-uploaded it, forgot to change the BinRev stream, so they had to put up with the one that you couldn't hear all week.
Mm-hmm.
I changed it this morning for all the good that does us, though. But it's fixed now, so if you wanted to grab 131 again, you could get one that you can actually hear, but then you have to listen to my dumb ass at the crack of dawn, half asleep, trying to make up for...
rattling off a list.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I don't think, too good. Some people said they liked it, though. It was weird. They were like, well, that's not, you know, that wasn't so bad. It was actually, it came out pretty good, so... But the gross majority was not too happy.
Mm.
So, nixed that idea. Now, email for the show. We had two emails here. I'm actually kind of holding on to actually two or three other ones. I'm trying to figure out how to work them into the show, so we're not doing them today. We had one that was kind of sad. So we're going to start the show off on this first. He gave us his real name, so I'm going to say it was from BJ302. And this was a story that was in the news about 5 days ago, I think, where a man kills his daughter. Over, well, not really over a video game, but he was playing a game and killed her while he was playing this game, like, because she was fooling around with his Xbox. Here, let me read what he says.
Tripped over the power cord or something?
No, she was, like, yanking on him. So, anyway, his email says, "Hey, C4 and Kobar, I've been listening to the show since 80-something, but this is my first email. I hate to be such a downer, but I thought you guys should see this." And then he basically, like, ripped the 1UP.com story about it. And posted it in the email, so I read that, then I followed it up online and everything and saw the news for it, like the newspaper for wherever the heck it was, I forgot now. And I managed to leave his name out of here, but that's okay because he's a douchebag anyway. But essentially, the guy's 25 years old. I guess his wife was gone, or at least the mother of his child was gone. 17-month-old daughter. He's sitting there playing his Xbox, and she yanks out the power cord or something and proceeded to beat the crap out of her until he kills her.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he, like... put her in her crib or whatever, in her bed or something, on the floor or something, and told the mother of the kid she was asleep when she got home, and then relatives came over and found the kid dead. The police come over, they say, oh, she must have fell out of bed, but she's, like, you know, beaten.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's pretty fucked up. It's pretty sad. I mean, that's just fucking retarded. That's not just pretty bad and pretty sad. That's incredibly fucked up and incredibly retarded. I'm shocked. Like, I could not... I missed the story somehow. I just did not read this. I didn't see it anywhere. So when I got this email, I was pretty upset about it. He goes on in the email at the end of after the article, though, to say, kind of sad someone killed a child because of that. But, hey, I guess his Halo 2 score is more important than his fucking child. So, now the point of this, though, the reason we're actually going to mention this here, because it has nothing, nothing to do with games...
Yeah. Something the kid would have done eventually would have caused this crazy motherfucker to beat her.
Exactly. This guy has obviously got other problems in his life than, you know, his Halo 2 score. You know, I mean, this guy's not mentally altogether. The worry is that, you know, terrorist Jackie Thompson might get a hold of this.
It's obviously the Xbox's fault.
Of course. I mean, this has nothing to do with, you know, him being unstable and her doing something stupid and him snapping finally. No. This is because Halo... Halo is what drives this man and keeps him alive. And see, this poor guy became, you know, dependent. He was an addict. It was Microsoft's fault.
Mm-hmm.
They should pay for this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Jackie Thompson here needs more money in his bank account and more media time. So how long until he gets another media frenzy fired up over this? And this is going to be pretty disgusting if he sinks that low.
Yeah.
I'm not dying to see what he says, but I'm, like, anxious to hear from him. Like, I'm afraid that he's going to say anything about it at all. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the incredibly negative spin he's going to have on it. Because,
you know, no parent ever beats their kid to death having nothing to do with video games
at all. Oh, of course. This was created. I mean, that came about when video games first came out. I mean, Jesus.
I mean, it happens all the time. We just don't hear about it in national news because it didn't have to do anything with video games.
Right, right. Pretty sad shit.
Yeah. It is, though.
It really is. That's messed up. Video game related or not, that's sad. Now, the second email, which is, like, unfortunate, because this was our main topic anyway, and I'm sure everybody knew that this was going on, and this is kind of like what kept the internet spinning for the last couple of months, is basically talking about the Nintendo Wii, but Dark Dragon Man Neo did send us an email about it, with a few comments and whatnot in there. Hey guys, what's going on? I'm sure you guys heard they finally released the launch date and the price of the Wii. The system will be launched here in the US on November 19th for $249.99. It will come with all the obvious stuff like a controller, the stand, and some plugs, but it will also launch with a copy of Wii Sports as well. I only have a few problems with it now. Number one, I'd rather it came with Twilight Princess and not just a game that will most likely be something too. Whatever that means. But he wants Zelda. That's not going to happen.
That's the biggest pipe dream I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, no shit. That's not going to happen. And the reason that's not going to happen, everybody's going to buy that game.
Yeah, it's their heavyweight title.
Exactly. But yeah, yeah.
That and Super Mario Galaxy. Right. You're not going to see that on there either.
Number two, I wish the thing was $199.99 without the game and $30 more if you wanted it included. I mean, it's basically an Xbox with a better control scheme and in a smaller package and actually has good launch games. Well, that's not true. This thing costs nothing what it costs to build an Xbox.
At the time.
I'm sure they're still far apart.
You think so?
I'm sure he means 360.
No. The hardware of the Wii is slightly better than an Xbox.
It's like a souped-up GameCube is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and number three, the one thing that annoys me the most is the same thing that got me about the DS Lite. The damn thing isn't launching with a black Wii. It won't stop me from pre-ordering the thing because I don't feel like sitting outside of Best Buy all night when I can sleep in my bed and get it in the mail a day or two later. The best news about this baby is that the Wii, like the PS3, is region-free. I can't wait for this thing, so until then, I guess I'll get the DS Lite now that I know the Wii's price. Keep up the good work and stop talking about the damn 360. You're going to make me waste my money on it instead of the Wii. Now, let's touch on that anyway. Well, because we have all the prices and everything that we're going to actually go over here, which I'm sure most everybody knows anyway, and we're just going to kind of regurgitate the one very thing that the entire internet took a deep breath and watched Nintendo talk for a couple hours. He's wrong about the region-free, though. That is not true. It's not going to be region-free.
And I'd like to say, if it didn't come with Wii Sports, it would have been $125.
Right.
It would have been $124.99.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Japan's getting it for basically $212.
And it would have been nice if it was black.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Although, you know what? I don't care.
The white one looks just fine.
Yeah, it looks great. And guess what?
It's going to be sitting under your TV not being looked at anyway.
Exactly. You know what else? The 360 is white. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like it. Although it's the only white thing over here now that I look at it. How funny. That's kind of strange.
There is a lot of black and gray over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like the only white thing. And like from here over there. How weird. In any case, yes, we finally have the information about the Wii. And I think the whole world watched this because it was, you know, pretty neat that Nintendo went ahead and released all of the information for the entire world at the same time. But at least they covered everybody. You know, like every major group anyway that's going to be picking up this damn thing.
At work, we were like refreshing blogs and stuff as the Japanese thing was going
right,
on.
Yeah, yeah. I came home from work and sat there and tried to go through it too. I just couldn't do it. And I was like, fuck it. Because all the sites I kept trying kept getting shut down.
Mm.
You know, for exceeding bandwidth and whatnot. You know, I mean, it just wasn't even worth it. So I just said to hell with it. And I actually went to bed. I passed out. I was a little tired that day though. Been playing games. Hard work saving the world. Now, the Nintendo Wii, the launch dates. This is very, very interesting.
I was shocked.
Go ahead and read some of this. Cause...
Well, we actually get it first by a good long shot.
Woohoo!
Our launch date is November 19th.
It is a long shot, too.
Japan doesn't get it until December 2nd.
That's crazy.
And then, oddly enough, Europe is only a few days later, December 8th. And then Australia on December 7th.
That's very weird that we get them sooner.
Yeah.
Very, very weird. But I guess, I mean, okay, well, what day is Thanksgiving? Well,
didn't we get the DS first, too?
I don't remember.
But it was only by, like...
A week?
No, no, it was like a few hours, wasn't it? Like, we got it...
The hell does that matter?
It was technically the same day, but...
Whatever. I'm not counting that. What day is Thanksgiving? The 24th? 25th?
25th.
That's why we get it first. The Thanksgiving isn't something they celebrate in Japan.
Right.
You know, but we get it the day before the biggest shopping day of, you know, the world, probably. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why we get it.
Yeah,
so
the 26th soon. Is a huge shopping day.
Also, as a Japanese, if I was a Japanese person and living in Japan, I would be awfully upset. You know, I'd be like, this is bullshit, Nintendo. God damn you. You know, seriously. That or maybe they're just going to test it out first.
Right.
We'll give it to the Americans. They'll blow the money on it. If they all say it sucks, meh. Nobody else will have to waste their money on it. Who knows? Now, the system pricing for this was a subject of much debate, I guess. You know, this was one of the biggest rumors on the internet for the longest time, was how much this thing's going to cost. We heard everything from down to, what, 170 up to 250. And, of course, you go on any kind of forum and whatnot, and you see a bunch of PlayStation 3 guys talking shit because it's $250 now. They're like, ah, ha, ha, your Wii is so much more expensive than you thought. And I'm just like, okay.
I guess.
All right. I could still buy almost three of them.
We thought it was going to be 200 to 250.
Yeah, I don't see why this is a shock.
It happens to be at the top of that scale, which is a little disappointing.
Okay, but it's still far below everybody else. So what? The USA gets it for $249.99. In Europe, it's going to be £179 for the UK and €249 for everybody else. Australia at $399.95 Australian dollars, and Japan at 25,000 yen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I wonder why Australia is always so damn expensive.
They get the shaft.
For everything.
Yeah. Now, the packaging for these three is awfully the same, except for Japan, which I do not understand at all. Japan basically gets the same pack that we get. You know, the Wiimote, the Nunchuck controller. What else did you say?
The stand. The
vertical stand.
The light bar that controls the Wii.
The sensor bar.
Yeah.
Batteries.
Batteries for the Wiimote.
I thought you'd remember that since you practically insisted I write it in the notes and still didn't. But Japan gets all of that with no games.
A wrist strap.
Oh, that's right. The gay little wrist strap you get to hang on to the Wiimote, which I think is actually a good idea. Because I could see my dumbass either dropping it or throwing it on accident, getting too into a game, you know? It's going to have a little like a camera wrist strap type thing attached to it. I've seen pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, go head on over to Wii, Wii.com. They have like all kinds of videos and stuff. They show you some of the different items that it comes with now and all kinds of neat little stuff.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed and do not understand at all why there's only one remote.
Why, it only comes with one?
Yeah, one controller.
More money.
They changed it to Wii because it's supposed to be this multiplayer
family
thing. It doesn't matter. The two eyes are for controllers.
Yeah, but you're going to buy it. They're for people, not controllers.
Well,
you're going to buy it. You're going to have to buy that extra control, and they know that. So why not make it another $30-$40 you have to pay? Or $60 or $50 or whatever. You know? That's another thing. We got the controller prices down here, too. Well, wait, I don't know if we actually made it obvious. Japan gets all of that with no Wii Sports.
Right.
But the other three territories are going to get Wii Sports. And notice I said USA and not like North America.
But that's why we all pay a little more than Japan does. The 25,000 turns into $212.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Okay. The accessory pricing, though. Let's do that really quick. Oh, and somehow I blew the Japanese. I couldn't find it. And then Australia was to be announced, the accessory pricing, and the accessories I keep saying. I mean the Wiimote and the Nunchuck and the classic controllers.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the Wiimote is $40, but the Nunchuck add-on is another $20. So that's a $60 for like that whole controller setup. And a classic controller is also $20, that little shell, mm-hmm. which means you're going to have a Wiimote to go with it. And in Europe, it's £29, €39 for the Wiimote, and the Nunchuck and the Classic Controller are £14 and €19. Game pricing was something else we had, too, for everywhere, of course, but Australia.
And we already knew that the games were going to be $50, $49.99 for Nintendo.
Those are Nintendo games that are, right. Yeah, and they're going to be widescreen. That's what that little plus WS is.
Really?
That's,
I did not know.
Support widescreen, yeah.
And we don't know about third party.
Right.
People like EA might choose to make it 60 because the Xbox 360...
Let's be honest here. EA games are going to be 60. And, yeah.
But you never know.
Right, right. Absolutely. I'm just trying to be a dick. And they actually have the option to support or not widescreen.
Right.
The third-party ones. But all the Nintendo games that are coming out, they said, or at least the first batch of however many, were going to be 50 bucks US and have widescreen support. Europe was £35 to £39 in the UK, and 49 to 59 euros all across Europe. And Japan actually had two different pricing systems also. It was 4,800 yen or 6,800 yen. And like the good example was the cheaper game, like Wii Sports, that's going to come out at 4,800 yen. But Zelda, like a serious fat title, is going to be 6,800. Right, something like that will probably be.
And I imagine we're going to have to pay 50 bucks for the lower titles.
I have no idea. I imagine they're going to hammer us for 50 all the way around.
You wouldn't see me spending 50 bucks for something like Wii Sports.
No, you wouldn't. I would not do that. No siree. Which is going to have boxing.
Yeah.
Boxing, bowling, golf, tennis, and maybe something else, I think. I can't remember. Whatever. It could be kind of fun, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad it's coming with it.
I wouldn't have bought it otherwise.
Yeah. But I
don't care if it was $20. I probably wouldn't have
played
that
every once in a while.
I think doesn't the Japanese one have that one called My First Wii or something? Don't they get some kind of a disc still, Maybe. Or is it a download game?
I don't know.
I was hearing something about something called My First Wii, and it's more like mini games, like not like WarioWare serious hardcore mini games, but like training.
I remember seeing those.
More
things,
like training. More like
that obstacles course thing that was
exactly using your me. Right, exactly. We'll get to that in just one moment then, I guess. There was the 27 games that we read off before. I remember we had the supposed launch list. It looks like what's actually going to happen is there are going to be 30 games available by the end of the year at 15 available at launch.
And I would imagine by the end of the year, that's before Christmas.
I would imagine.
15 on launch day for a Nintendo console is pretty good.
That's a hell of a lot better than Mario 64 and Pilot Wings.
I don't even remember what the launch list was for GameCube.
Probably pretty sad.
Yeah.
I don't think Mario was out.
No.
I don't remember what it was now, though, but I'm sure it was pretty lame. Let's go over some of these games here so we know exactly what's coming. Now, Japan actually has a different list. I've seen the Japanese list. Mm-hmm. It is completely different than our list. Like, I don't see half this dumbass shit on here. You know, they actually have a whole bunch of games I can't pronounce.
Right.
So it's completely a different list. So,
First is The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, which, by the way, for anybody that doesn't know, they did add sword fighting with the remote.
That's pretty cool.
Just the sticks.
Pushing
the button.
We'll
see, because it seems like they tacked it on at the end.
They're probably pretty good at it by now, though.
And they could have been doing it the whole time and just held off on the information.
Would they flub a Zelda? Do you think they'd just tack something onto a Zelda game? Here comes the Wind Waker slap in the face.
Yeah.
Ah, shit. Excite Truck!
Trauma Center.
Madden. Oh, man. See, I got the janky list this time. Madden 2007.
Need for Speed Carbon. I'm not sure about
it's
all
a
that.
Racing game.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Elebits, which is some weird crap.
Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz.
Metal Slug Anthology. I can't believe they're going to put that crap there.
Raving Rabbits, which looks very interesting.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I think that's the best word to describe it.
Yeah. Red Steel, which we all know about.
Barnyard.
Cars, the movie game.
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Blazing Angels.
And Far Cry Vengeance.
Fucking Far Cry. Such a piece of shit. Okay, now we gotta go over this list here for a minute. Like, using the cushion... We still didn't come up with a system or a name for this cool thing, but cushion has this purchasing a console system. Five games. You gotta have five games that you can name for that you would like for any given system to justify a purchase. Can you do that with the Wii?
With the launch list, I can get four. By the end of the year, there's at least like 12.
Go right ahead. Knock yourself out.
I want The Legend of Zelda.
Uh-huh.
I think Excite Truck could be cool. I want, where we go? Trauma Center. Red Steel could be quite good if all the rumors that had gotten a lot better are true. And that's it on this list.
Now, I look at this list, and I'll tell you what I see from the bottom up. Far Cry Vengeance. I see an old-ass game that just needs to die. I see a game... I didn't like it to begin with.
Right.
Back on the PC. And I tried playing the 360 version. I can't stand it. A game I'll never look at. Blazing Angels. This is that shooting airplane. Okay. Isn't that what that is?
I don't know.
I'm fairly certain. No interest in it. Avatar. I don't even know what that is.
It's a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Not gonna happen. Cars. Don't make me laugh. I also don't know what Barnyard is, but if it's anything like Harvest Moon, I am not interested. Red Steel, I cannot play a first-person shooter on a console. It can't be done.
What are you talking about? You have a gun. It is not a console FPS.
It's the same movement. I may have a gun. So it's a console light zapper, first-person shooter light zapper game? That makes it somehow different than a first-person shooter?
It's different than using a controller. Your problem with an FPS on a console is the analog stick. You're not using that to aim. You're using an actual gun.
We'll see.
You have the precision of a mouse.
And if he moves and turns all slow...
If he moves and turns all slow, then it's a problem.
It will. But it will. Every console game is like that. Every console first-person shooter turns slow. I don't care how high you have your fucking sensitivity jacked up. And I get into arguments with these guys on Xbox Live all the time.
But you don't... You also turn by, like, moving the reticle over to the side.
That's going to really fuck me up now if I'm trying to aim. And then I start moving. See, anyway, I see this game as a controller nightmare. Rayman Raving Rabbids, I just don't see it. I don't know. Rayman was pretty cool in the Dreamcast, and that was about as far as I went. Metal Slug Anthology, I played the shit out of these before. Why the hell would I want to play them again? I mean, they're not that good of games. They're just not that worthy. Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz, I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but I'm not going to buy it. Elebits... We looked into that a little bit, didn't we?
It was kind of interesting. We'll have to see.
If it was something I would buy, it's not memorable. Something I was going to buy, I'd remember it. Need for Speed Carbon? No way. I've got Burnout. Madden 2007? Not a chance in hell. Trauma Center? I have on the DS.
Yes.
With, like, absolute fantastic controls right up in my face. And I can take it anywhere. Excite Truck? Might be kind of cool. Maybe. Depends if I can make my own courses. Again, I have Burnout. And that game is just fast and exciting. And Zelda, I hate to say this, is a maybe. I'm sorry, but I got burned. I don't like the new Zeldas.
That's too bad.
Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker.
How do you not like Ocarina of Time? I loved that game.
I played it on the Nintendo 64. In fact, I pre-ordered it. I had the fat one and all that, you know. I just never got on with it very well. It didn't translate well into 3D for me. So I don't know. Like, I know I'm going to hell now. I know this. And it's like, I've tried to play them, and they are good games. I just can't seem to get on with them very well. I try and try and try, and I can't do it. I keep buying it, too, thinking I can do it. I've tried it on emulators. I've got the discs for the GameCube, and I can't do it. I keep trying, and I can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with those games, but I can't do it. This is going to be just like that, except for even more fucked up. So I'm, like, not so sure what to think about this. Now, my point is, I think a lot of people are going insanely over-happy with the Wii. I mean, you know, there was a point where I'm pretty sure the internet was just going to stop until Nintendo said something. You know, like, websites were going to shut down, you were not going to see updates daily on CNN anymore, there was just going to be nothing happening until Nintendo told us stuff about the Wii. It's a big deal. It is.
I'm still excited.
It's not that big of a deal. I don't think so. Okay. As we went through this earlier, are you still using a power glove?
No.
Are you still using a power pad?
Well, I'm not using an NES either.
Are we playing any game currently other than DDR that uses a power pad?
No.
Are we using any game other than Lethal Enforcers in the last 5 or 10 years with a fucking light gun?
No.
Are we using any game in the last 20 years with a power glove?
No.
Okay. Super Scope, anybody? When was the last time you saw a bazooka? Never! Okay? I have the bad, bad, bad cloud of I see an old, rotted, torn up, dirty power glove cycling over the drain in the sky, you know, along with the bazooka, the Super Scope, and the fucking zapper, and the power. I'm afraid. I don't see, I mean, given Nintendo's history, this is a gimmick. And if it doesn't fly, they'll scrap it. Look at the Virtual Boy. That poor thing.
Well, that thing hurt people.
This thing's going to hurt a lot of people. Some of us have remained in our chairs for the last 20 years.
So maybe it's a good thing to get up and move around a little
I'm
bit.
I'm sure it is, but a lot of people are going to die. I'm going to have a stroke. It's not going to be okay. You know? Like, I'm really starting to not be so sure about the Wii. I mean, sure, it's only $250. It might offer the very next thing for great gaming in this world. Maybe, but more than likely...
So what changed to make... Because you were so excited about it.
Because it sounded exciting, and it was that pipe dream of this is going to fix gaming. This is going to fix gaming. This is going to bring back everything that we liked about gaming. A new and original everything, you know? I mean, before, you went outside and you threw rocks at your sister or played baseball with your friends in the street, whatever the hell you did, rode your BMX bike around town and took little jumps off of the curb and thought you were badass. Fast forward to 1984, you had your Nintendo and you were saving the world with this little box that had four buttons and a little plus sign on it. And it was fantastic, and it hurt your hands like hell. Actually, it wasn't too bad at the time, but now that thing hurts your fucking hands like hell. And you could sit there for hours on end saving the fucking planet, but we've done that for 20 years or more, a lot of us.
Okay, plus, as far as when was the last time you used a light gun? When we were when we were playing Atari, we had an analog stick.
It was an analog. No, I don't. It wasn't. It was a digital stick. Like there was forward. There wasn't degrees of forward. I don't think.
No.
I don't think so. Okay. I was four. So remembering that is fucking impossible.
My point is that we used a stick.
Right.
And that went away, and then it came back. Just because something goes away and we haven't used it and it wasn't any good in the meantime.
And it can be improved. I'm certain it can be improved. Okay. The DS. How many games do you own?
Five or six.
Five or six DS games. Okay. How many of those are stylus only? Or at least mostly?
Three.
Which ones?
I have Kirby. Kirby. Trauma Center.
Trauma Center.
And although you can play, Advance Wars either way.
Oh, right. And I've tried to play Advance Wars with a stylus, and it's slower than balls.
I like it.
I don't. I tried, and I ended up rather using the other stuff, the normal buttons and D-pad. Mm-hmm. Now, on my list, though, Tetris DS, Sonic Rush. The fuck is this? Oh, Trauma Center. Trauma Center. That's the one game that uses the stylus a lot. Bomberman. Break 'em All, which is kind of shit anyway. Mario Kart DS, Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers, Nanostray, Brain Age. Well, that one uses the stylus a bit. That's yours. Advance Wars. There you go. I was looking for that. And Castlevania. Most of those games, though, my point is, the stylus is basically a gimmick.
My girlfriend also has Magnetica, which uses the stylus.
Okay, so out of like those 15 games, there was 4 or 5 of them that used the stylus heavily. And I seem to own like 2 of those.
Well, so you're saying that the DS should only have stylus games?
No, I'm saying that...
Most of those stylus games are fat, and they're awesome that they use it.
They are. They are. It's really cool. Like a game like Trauma Center. Okay? I'll use that as the example, because it's the perfect use of something like that, right? Same with the Wiimote. If you can, you know, cut people open and do what you gotta do on your screen on your TV when you're playing Trauma Center with your Wiimote, that's awesome. But a game like Zelda strikes me as a game where I am going to want to use a controller, like Castlevania on the DS, where I only want to use the face buttons and the D-pad. Mm-hmm. You know, like Sonic, I'm going to want to use the D-pad or the analog stick and the buttons. I'm not going to want to use the Wiimote. So I'm terrified that this is just like a huge gimmick push right out of the gate for Nintendo to get people all excited over maybe nothing.
But maybe something.
Hopefully.
The whole point is that whole new genres could come out of this, like Trauma Center.
Right, and that's probably all that's going to come out of this that's any good. Zelda's probably going to suck balls because it'll be uncontrollable. Excite Truck is going to be what could have been a fat game with a controller. Trauma Center is going to be a shining light, and it's going to be like, oh, this is the greatest thing for the Wiimote. Madden, people are going to want to use a fucking controller for that. Need for Speed... I don't know. These driving games are maybe a toss-up. I don't know. We'll see how good some of these steering wheel attachments are. But, I mean, Okay, Super Monkey Ball. Well, okay, that one might do pretty well. That one, because, you know, it's mostly like a lot of balance and weird stuff. Metal Slug, you're not going to play with a fucking motion-sensitive fucking controller. And if Rayman plays anything like a previous Rayman, you're probably going to want to use a controller.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's not.
Really? It did look like a different type of game, just using the Rayman character. Far Cry is a first-person shooter, for God's sakes. I mean,
first-person shooter's good for the Wiimote. It's a light gun.
We'll see. We'll see.
Everybody who's actually playing this is saying it's fat.
It might be the fattest thing for FPSs on a console since GoldenEye 64, though. We'll see.
Like people playing Metroid Prime
I'm terrified. Like,
Corruption says that it's just absolutely sick.
I'm sure it's a bunch of Metroid fanboys, though. Do you think somebody like me, who hates Metroid, would walk over, pick up the control? Oh, I'm getting hate mail now. The truth is out. Sorry, Metroid fucking blows. The original one was awesome. So, if I went over and picked up the fucking Wii and played Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, and you think I would really like it? I don't think so.
What didn't you like about Metroid Prime?
The control.
Exactly! And it's a completely different control scheme.
We'll see. My fear is that the people that are telling us either fat are only huge fans of the series and would love it no matter what.
Maybe.
What's that word I'm looking for? Fanboys. You know what I mean? They're going to love it no matter what. And I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of the Nintendo fanboys on any given forum. Because they're sitting there fighting off a bunch of PlayStation people. That's something else I've noticed. A bunch of PlayStation people are attacking the Nintendo people, and the Microsoft people tend to stay out of it. They're probably busy playing video games, though. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if it's just the forums I've been on lately or what, but you don't see, fuck you, the Xbox is going to crush them all. You see, fuck you, the PlayStation is going to crush them all.
That's because those are the only two that aren't out yet.
Well, obviously, but
Microsoft fanboys are already playing their new system.
Hey, the Sony people should be sucking their PlayStation 2 dick still. That thing, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, according to them. Right. Instead, they're out arguing with Nintendo people, trying to keep them down for some... I'm just terrified of this thing for some reason. Like, I don't know, it could be exciting, it could be neat, it's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. But I am like, not so sure that I'm going to pick one up right away anymore. Like, at first, it was like, oh yeah, this is going to be just badass. But now, I think I'm going to have to wait a while. Not a long while. Not 360 wait. Not like I waited for this, like, 8 months. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be, like, maybe 3 months, 4 months, maybe the first of the year I'll wind up picking one up, if it's any good. Unless I hear nothing but, oh my god, this thing is uncontrollable! In any case, Metroid Prime 3, which we did mention, Corruption, delayed until 2007. So the Metroid fanboys can whine over that. The GameCube version of The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess released December 11th, 2006. It got delayed. Mm-hmm. On the Wii, like the interface for the Xbox 360, you've got like the blades, essentially tabs, different screens. They have like I swear to God, it looks like a TV station when you're looking at it. Little pictures of different stations, or channels, they call them. And they have... I mean, we can just blow through this list real quick. The Wii Channels list. Wii Weather Channel, which obviously tells you the weather. Imagine
that. Which is kind of cool. I mean, it's got like this little world, and you like hold on to the world and move it around and check around.
Neat. The Wii... No, I know.
It's a nice little feature.
It's a nice touch, but yeah. Okay. They could have just put the temperature down the corner somewhere, you know. Wii News Channel, which I'm sure will tell you about all the great things that are happening in the world today. Wii Message Board. I guess this allows you to send messages to a computer or a cell phone. The Wii Disc Channel. That's where you like select your games. Mm-hmm. Wii games or GameCube games. You have we'll do that one last. The Wii Photo Channel, which reads off your little SD card, your little memory card there. Pictures and videos, I guess, too, are handled on that same Wii Photo Channel. But you can like take a picture and make like a little puzzle out of it. You know, like probably one of those little sliding puzzle things.
Right.
I guess
you
is what
take
I've seen.
Out a chunk.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's pretty cool. I guess. I mean, you can futz around with that for whatever reason. You must be way the hell bored. The Wii Internet Channel lets you surf. Using the Opera browser, which I guess isn't going to ship with the thing. You're going to have to, from what I heard, you're going to have 6 months, I think, or so, to download it for free. After that, they're going to charge you to download the Opera browser onto your Wii. I guess. Hmm. Now, the other thing I read two conflicting reports, was Japan only gets it for free till like June 2007, and the rest of us have to pay for it.
Well, that actually makes sense, because I think Opera's free for the computer. But
right.
For any like other hardware they charge, which is how they make their money.
Right. Oh, okay. That would make a lot of sense.
It's big on like cell phones and,
right.
and
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense in the DS.
Yeah.
And let's see, the Mii channel. I don't know. You just make it reminds me of like a Skype character.
Right.
You make yourself a little avatar, but they're like janky little avatars.
They look like the guys on Wii Sports because you use your Mii,
which is neat.
Character.
That's pretty
Wii
cool.
Sports. That's what they look like.
That's pretty. Yeah. So if you saw that video, you know kind of what the character looks like. And I guess that it gets saved into your Wiimote, by the
right.
way. Oh, okay. I didn't know if you heard that. So yeah. So that explains the little memory thing for that, which is kind of cool. I could take it somewhere and have my little C4 kicking Kobar ass at some tennis or whatever. Let's see. What else was it? The Wii Shop channel. This is Micro Payment Central here. Okay. This is like the fucking Xbox Live Marketplace for the 360. That place is a death trap for your wallet. Micro payment hell. $5 there, $10 here. It's only $1 for these 4 pictures. I'll get some of those. It's the death of me. The Wii Shop channel is where you can buy the virtual console games also, kind of like the Xbox Live Arcade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
$5 for the Nintendo games, $8 for the Super Nintendo games, $10 for the Nintendo 64 games, but you have to use fucking points. Wii points. Fuck you, Microsoft, and your Xbox Live point system. I don't like this. Play money is stupid.
Well, but at least they're a little more like...
realistic.
Obvious. Like, 100 points is a dollar.
Right.
Instead of 100 points being $1.25.
Yeah.
So you have to sit there and go, okay,
how much did I just spend?
Because 800 points will be $8.
Right. Instead of $10 getting fucked by Microsoft. So anyway, and it also works out to be 100 points is 100 yen. Works out rather nice for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that's, yeah, 500 points, 800 points, and 1,000 points. 1,000 points. And, you have to buy controllers for each of these. Now, I didn't see anything on the controllers, though. Are they going to have a different shell for each one of these, or what?
It's the virtual, the one that's $20.
I haven't, oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
I haven't. Somehow I missed all this.
Pause this real quick.
No.
No?
No. We can look at it later, but I missed it. So it's a whole, I thought there was going to be 3 different controllers. It's just call it classic control.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's like, kind of oval. It's got two,
analog sticks.
Analog sticks, the face buttons, and the D-pad and the shoulder buttons.
Does it have Z trigger?
Don't think so.
Really?
Well.
I'm trying to envision how the fuck I'm going to play a Nintendo 64 game on this thing.
Well, because if you're using the Z trigger, you only had one shoulder button. You just use one of the shoulder buttons as a Z trigger.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, huh? Boy, that's going to mess me up, because I actually liked the 64 controller for the 64 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out pretty well. In any case, we had a list of that, but we had like very differing lists we found for the virtual console games that were going to come out immediately. I mean, we had everywhere from 4 games to like 70 games or some shit.
The single most common list was 26 games, and they were all the same.
But they were before.
They were all on fan site lists.
Yeah.
So we weren't positive if they were real.
Yeah, right. Now, the ones that were real, well, at least that I saw announced after, it said like 4 games and then 10 per month after that. And I can't remember what the 10 were now because I deleted it because we were arguing over the game list. I think it was The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario World, Donkey Kong, and Mario 64. Mm-hmm. That was the list of the 4 that were going to be out immediately. And then 10 more games are going to be added to the list every month, which blows. I think they fucked up.
Why?
Why? Because they should have said, here you go. Here's the fucking Nintendo library. Have at it, bitches.
They might have to work on the coding to make it work on the Wii.
Bullshit. You make one emulator. Well, 3 emulators. And you're good to go.
Well.
My proof of this? Look at the PC. You know? I mean, for God's sakes, they didn't have to rig it up like that, I don't think.
Right.
They're probably going to pull some of that Xbox Live Marketplace bullshit. When you buy fucking $5 for Pac-Man... it's not just like the Pac-Man ROM loads up in a spiffy little emulator. It's like they've recoded it completely, and you've got this funky screen around it and some box art and a leaderboard thing. It's like they've added a bunch of crap to it. We don't necessarily need that. We just want to play the game. Now, I know my dumbass will be buying fucking... I can see it now. Bionic Commando, fucking Final Fantasy VI, Super Mario World 64. I can see me buying that again.
We do know that Square is...
right.
Is doing this.
Right.
I wasn't sure.
I could probably see myself buying Ocarina of Time to give it a 12th go, you know?
You have that.
Yeah, I know, but it'd be different. Oh. It'd be like, well, it's on a new console. I have to try it out again. It's a different controller. I might get on with it better. Who knows? I don't know. Also, there's no DVD playback on this thing. which is fine. I do not care.
Yeah, a lot of people getting all up in arms about this. Every screen in my house has at least one, sometimes two, DVD players attached to it. I do not need another one.
No, we
can't. It does not matter.
No, we counted it. What's here? We got eight in this house.
Yeah, and I think I have six.
On 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 screens, there's 8 DVD players already. So what the hell?
Yeah. And if you don't, go out and ship out the $30 for a new DVD player.
Yeah, it won't break you. I'm sure you'll be okay. And the games are going to be region locked. Somebody from Nintendo did say they're going to be, it was very strange. It said, they're region free, but there's something that the game developers can set to make the game region locked. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're hearing, no, that was a mistake. They are region locked is what we're hearing now. So that's kind of what we're looking at for the Wii. I'm still excited. I'm just a little scared. And I'm not seeing the fat release list I want to see either. I mean, it's a fat list. It's just not fat for me. It doesn't have those 5 games I want.
We should
on
have
it
tacked on the end of the year list because that's a lot fatter.
It was. There was another 15 games there.
And some of those are the best
pretty
ones.
Pretty nice, yeah.
Like Mario Galaxy.
Right. That'll go over real. I can't believe they're going to launch without Mario Galaxy, though. That would have been the perfect launch game. Well, Zelda's probably better than that.
Well, and it'll be out by Christmas. So,
yeah, and I guess that's what matters. Gives you time to beat Zelda before you get to play Mario. That's right. You know, I'm going to eat my words, though. I know what'll happen. This damn thing will come out, and I'll be fucking camped out in front of a Best Buy or CompUSA somewhere, sleeping in a sleeping bag with my DS.
Wishing you had just pre-ordered it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bring the Xbox, and I can just plug it in somewhere and turn it on and sleep on it and keep me warm overnight. All right. Well, we got to move on here to your stuff.
All right, we're going to do some reviews. Mine is Disgaea 2, the strategy RPG for the PS2. The storyline seems pretty, basic, but that's okay. Basically, you have this Overlord Xenon, which is a demon lord, and he turns everyone in your world into demons.
Does anybody else but me think that's a little weird? Is it Xenon, or is it pronounced Xenon? Do they ever say it in the game?
Yeah, I think it's Xenon.
Xenon?
Xenon, yeah.
Xenon? Not Xenon? Okay, you know what the code name for the Xbox 360 processor was? Xenon. X-E-N-O-N.
Right.
But this is Z-E-N-O-N. I just thought that was funny. On a PlayStation 2 game, you know? The evil.
Anyway, the only person in the entire world that didn't get turned into a demon was you. And, the main character. And so your job is to go find this overlord and kill him so that everybody gets turned back into humans. And in the very beginning, your mom, summons Overlord Xenon's daughter. And you have to fight with her to get to the place. And that's the basic storyline.
Okay.
Saving
humanity.
Right. So basically, the entire game works off this town. And, there's no real world exploration. You just go to this one chick and you go, all right, I want to go here. And then you go to that map and you fight it. And then you
that's
come back
cool
to
because
town.
In a strategy RPG like that, you don't need to go putzing around the fucking world map forever. You just want to fight. That's what you're there for, is to do this really cool combat.
Right. And so it's all in this central town. That's where your shops are and everything. And so one of the biggest things is the item world because the game itself, without the item world, is kind of small. I mean, there's 12 chapters, and in 4 hours of gameplay, I was already on chapter 3.
Oh.
So, but with the item world, that's random, random arenas. And you go into an item, literally go into an item like a sword. You pick up a sword from the item shop, and then you go into the item, into its world, and you fight up. And for every level that you beat, it goes up a level.
How many levels
are
there? Increases,
As far as I know, it's a lot.
A lot. That's pretty cool, though.
Because every 10 levels, there's a way out, unless you have an item to get out first.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so if you don't have one of these items to get out, you have to make it to level 10. What?
It sounds like a good game, and I didn't like the others.
Well, if you didn't like Disgaea 1, you're not going to like
this. See, that was the one I didn't play. I played La Pucelle and Phantom Brave.
This is quite a bit different than La Pucelle.
I was going to shoot myself in the face trying to play those games. I really was bored out of my mind.
I didn't like La Pucelle, but I've been playing this one for a while, and I like it.
And I don't think I can't remember which one of the two.
Phantom Brave, you're a dude, and you have, phantoms that you control. You summon them.
Okay, so the one where you had the stupid little girl in the church was Lapu. That game drove me insane.
I hated it. I did not like it
at all. So maybe I just had bad luck. Because I remember Phantom Brave, I tried after I got sick and tired of Lapu Cell after a very short period. Mm-hmm. And I turned it on, and I didn't give it a fair shot because I was like, oh, this is just the same thing. And I turned it off.
No, I think they're quite a bit different.
Oh, goddamn. Well, yeah. Well, one, you're the good people. One, you're, like, bad guys, right?
Oh, yeah. Disgaea, you're demons.
Yeah. Oh, goddamn it.
So, the combat, some of the more important things is, because it basically is that strategy RPG. You can choose, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. Now, go.
Now, but the fight takes place on a, like, grid. Right? Okay. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what the hell we're talking about, because I barely do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I know what it is, because I watched Wolf play for, like, you know, 7 million hours.
Just like pretty much every strategy RPG on the face of the planet, when you start a level...
But not everybody's played one of those.
Okay, but when you start a level, it's on a grid.
There's a reason I'm being hard on you about this, though.
Is there?
Well, yeah, it's not about your game, it's about my game.
Oh. When you start the game, it's on a grid, and you start with, like, a node where everybody kind of pops out of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, when the level starts... All the bad guys are on the field, and none of your guys are on the field.
And how big is this grid?
It depends on the level.
Roughly. How small is the small one?
Maybe...
Like...
15 by 15.
Okay.
And they go up from there. I haven't counted.
Right.
So I might be way off. But okay. They range a little, quite a bit.
Okay.
And so you have this starting node, and then you click on it, and you say, okay, this person, get out here, and he pops out of the node, and you move him around, and then you can attack something. Well, it's turn-based, so you do everything you want to do, then you end your turn, and it's the monster, it's the other side's turn, and they do whatever they can do, and then back and forth like that. Some of the cool things about it, though, is like the geo grids, or the geo panels.
Uh-huh.
Okay, different grids will be different colors, and if you take these geo things...
You keep looking away from the mic when you're talking. Stop it.
And so sometimes these colors will have different effects on them. Like maybe there's one that makes whoever's on that panel invincible.
Nifty.
And then some other ones will be like plus to HP or like a boost to only enemies. So if
these
you're
other
on
games
there,
had that too. I remember
right.
these.
Okay. And then you can destroy the panels and then get chains.
Ooh.
And they cause damage to whoever's on the panels and stuff. It's pretty interesting. You can also lift and throw people. So, like, and you can make a chain, like, 12 people high.
Holy crap.
And then the bottom person can throw the entire chain.
How many people do you get in your group?
I don't know what the max is, but it's quite a few.
Holy shit. Well, how many? Oh, okay.
I have, like, 8 right now.
Damn. Okay, that's pretty good. You get, like, a little army going there, huh? Okay.
And, apparently there's, like, 200-plus different individual classes. Like healer and red mage and black mage and fighter.
Red mage.
But I think they're called...
I'm sure they're called
red
something
skull
else.
Mages.
Yeah, okay. We want to stay clear of Final Fantasy.
A couple other cool things is like the Dark Court, where you go in here and you go... Instead of like regular options that you can change, you have to get... There's an assembly where you have to get people to vote, like NPCs to vote for what you want. Like, let's say I want to make the enemies harder because I've leveled up too much, the game's getting too easy, and I want more of a challenge. So I go to the Dark Assembly and I say, okay, I want to make the enemies harder. And so you go into this Dark Assembly and there's a bunch of NPCs sitting around and some of them will like you and some of them will hate you. And the ones that hate you, you have to bribe to go on your side, or you can choose to fight them. And,
really? And that's how you can convince them?
Right.
Just beat their ass?
You beat their ass.
Right on.
And there's all different kinds of things that you can have voted on, like making enemies harder, making better items in these shops.
The items sound pretty cool. They all have those little quotes.
Right.
You got them, because you have two notes on here, under the item world. Or you have one note there, and then the sword, Berserker.
Oh, right. Items get very funny, because there's different, like, descriptions along the bottom. And there was one that I had that was called, like, Wife Beater Knuckles or something, and the quote was, like, why do you make me do this to you, honey, or something.
That's messed up.
There's all kinds
of The one
of
that
stuff.
I liked was the Berserker Sword, where it said sword, it was called Berserk.
I didn't actually see this one.
Ribo did, yeah, and it said, its love for you is like a truck. That is freaking awesome.
So The point of that is they did a real good job with the localization, because those sort of things would not be funny in Japan. I'm sure they
would. Right, right, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So they did a real good job with the localization. There's also a felony system, so like if you're leveling too fast or you hurt your enemies, the Dark Assembly will send you a subpoena. And then you have to go in. You have to go into the item world of the subpoena and go down to the court. And but it's a good thing because you're a demon, and so a felony is a good thing.
Oh, okay. So I was like, "What? You get punished?"
Well, if you do it too much, if you take too much advantage of it, you will get punished.
Ah.
But it's a good thing because it's a demon world. Everything's backwards. Good is bad. Bad's good.
Right. Okay.
So you get bonuses for being a felon.
That's pretty cool. That game sounds pretty awesome.
It's pretty good. For the average gamer, someone who's like not really into
to those strategy RPGs.
Yeah, but I forgot one more thing.
Uh-huh.
In the Dark Court Assembly, and this is pretty big, there's a reincarnation system where if you have a fighter and you decide, I have too many fighters, I want a knight. You can reincarnate him into a knight, but he gets to hold on to some of his fighter abilities and skills. But he starts back at level 1.
Oh.
So if you're like, and there's like 9,000 levels to this game. You can
Holy
be like 9,999
shit.
Or some shit.
Oh my God. That's crazy. God.
But if you're real high up there, let's say you're level 1,000, you have this level 1 dude. But if he gets the killing blow on an enemy, suddenly he's like level 600.
Right, right.
Because he
right.
just got a shit ton of experience.
Yeah.
So it's not as bad as it sounds immediately.
Right.
Anyway, for the average gamer, someone who hasn't really played strategy RPGs, because this is a pretty hardcore one.
Right.
It's like at the top of the difficulty scale. Or someone who is not necessarily into them, I'll give it about a 35 out of 50. If you're a big time into a strategy RPG, this is at least 45. Because it is the cream of the crop.
That's good stuff. 45 out of 50.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. Is there any kind of like online multiplayer or even...
Not that I know of.
No. And what about Hot Seat? Or like, can you have more than one person control part of your army? Or,
I don't think so.
Or can you battle?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, but I didn't ever see...
Maybe they're holding off for the PS3.
Yeah.
For some kind of like online battle system or something. I was just curious about it. Because now, I'm so blinded by these slick Microsoft shades I've got here, I start to look at all these little things. What kind of downloads have you got for that game for free there? Is there a picture pack with it? Can I play online? Is there achievements to unlock? I start looking at all this fucked up shit now. Like a good example of it affecting my gameplay was, I've got, for some reason, this bizarre itch to play Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. Right? I liked 1 and 2 an awful lot. I played 3 for a while. I still have 4 for the Xbox. Didn't actually play the underground ones, but I was looking around for American Wasteland today because I was just obsessed with it. And like, you know, of course I saw it for the PS2, you know, for all of $20. I saw it for the PC for $10, and I refused to buy it because I was on a mission to find it for the 360. Just because it has all the extra crap I want. And I'm like, God, what an asshole. And I didn't buy anything either because I was like, nope, nope, nope. I will find the 360 version for cheap one day.
Well, certainly you wouldn't have wanted the PC version.
Why not?
Tony Hawk on the PC does not sound too appealing.
Should be. It's got to be better than on the Xbox. Not the 360. The Xbox or the PS2. It's got to be better than that. With a 6800 video card, I'm sure it's better.
Graphically, but controller-wise...
I have a 360 controller.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it should be fine. It should be great. But I wanted to play it on the 360. I mean, that's what I have this thing for, is games now.
Right.
Which is terrible, because I'm starting to shy away from these PC games a lot now.
Which is terrible.
That's like doomsday coming,
man.
There's
some good stuff coming.
No, there is, I know. And I mean, you know what? I'm already pissed off at myself because I keep thinking, dude, I was so fucking loving playing Dungeon Siege 2, mm-hmm. and I just walked away from it for the 360. And I can't stop playing this thing, though. What do I do? I need to take like a week's vacation just to play some fucking video games.
Fuck yeah.
I need to play Half-Life 2 and Dungeon Siege 2.
Mm-hmm.
And get those out of the way so my computer stops nagging me to finish.
Well, a little while you have stuff like Dark Messiah. That looks like it could be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
The demo was...
I'm afraid it won't run that well is what it is.
Right.
I'm afraid it'll run like ass, and I just don't have the money to shell out. Not after fucking basically mortgaging a small house for the 360 and all the crap I needed to get it to work right.
It's the arcade that's really doing it to you.
No, I didn't spend that much in the arcade. I think it's the other crap. Like the VGA cables, you know,
right.
And the memory card and the extra controller.
Why did you get the memory card anyway?
Well, I had this brilliant idea. See, what I'm going to do is I do not trust hard drives. Right. It's just maybe some kind of weird paranoia I have from having a computer like most of my life. And so the plan is I also bought the converter cable thingies, or the not converter cable, the USB cable adapters.
That's right.
For like a Windows machine. Mm-hmm. So I can copy all my shit onto it. And you can copy like Street Fighter is 55 megabytes. It'll fit on that little 64 megabyte memory card. Mm-hmm. I copy it over to that. I go over to the Windows box, I plug it in, I copy it to an image file or whatever the hell it does, and then I can store my shit. And not like I'm going to need it someday, because if I do, I can just download it from Xbox Live again. But you never know. See,
plus you're a data pack rat.
You know, that's I think what really comes down to. But plus, I like the ability to fuck with it if I need to.
Right.
Because that you can use a hex editor on and do whatever the hell you need to do with that little image file, then send it right back to your card. Mm-hmm. Can't do that when it's on the 360 yet, anyway. So I figured it's something fun to play around with. And I also remember, like, when the Xbox came out and they had that soft mod stuff for it and people were fooling around with things, I never could find one of those USB hookup cables to the memory card thing around.
Right.
And it's like, well, now that these are all over the place, for now, I better pick one up. And it was like $750 for the – and it came – I'm so pissed. It came with one for the Xbox One, too. Like a whole separate cable just because. They were like, look, we probably have extra. We'll just pack it in with the 360 one. You never know, you know? So, which is cool, though, because then I can back up all my save games for my old Xbox games, which I'm sure I'll never
play.
And
throw them all onto the 360.
It doesn't work like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It will not transfer that save, which is a bummer because I really wanted to get some of my save games over there. You actually can't even transfer your emulated, your Xbox One save games that go onto your 360. You cannot take them off the hard drive.
Really?
Like, there's no copy to memory card option.
Huh.
Yeah, there's delete. That's it. Right. But I can copy fucking games over to... And demos. You can copy demos. You know, like, the 600 meg fucking Dead or Alive demo has an option to copy it to somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a bizarre system Microsoft has there, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. I thought it would be fun to play with, and the cables were cheap, but the memory card was, like, pretty expensive. It was like $28.
Mm.
Well, 40 was retail. So, in any case, Disgaea 2 sounds pretty fat.
I'm enjoying it.
It sounds like a good game. I'm glad to hear that. And it just seems like I didn't want to play Disgaea because I had the other two sitting around. And so I wanted to play those before Disgaea. And Wolf was hooked. It's all he talked about for months on that game. And somehow I avoided it because I figured, oh, I'll just play those. I've got those first or whatever.
Right.
And then I probably blew it. I probably blew my shot at playing the fun one because I figured it would be just like the other two. Lame. Now, I have been playing. I'm probably a good only like 15 hours into it at this point, though. And I wanted to be quite a bit further into it. But this was a review that needed to be done soon because there's a lot of talk about it right now. Enchanted Arms for the Xbox 360. Now, the reason there's a lot of talk about it is because it's an RPG. Like a real Japanese RPG on the Xbox 360. None of this Oblivion stuff.
Right.
This is like old school RPG. I mean, it feels like an old school RPG. You walk around the map as your one character, and then boom, you're into a random battle map.
And the screen starts swirling around.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's exactly what it is. It's $60 brand new. Comes with like a little manga, you know, like a comic book type thing with it. You know, I'm not sure how thick it is.
Does it read backwards?
I've never even opened it. I was like, whatever, I don't care. I'm buying this for the game, not the book, you know. I'm not a fanboy just yet, you know. The game better wow me. But I looked at reviews online for this game before I bought it, of course, just to see what people said about the game. And I was pretty disturbed at what I saw in the reviews. And what I saw in the reviews was a bunch of fucking, like, jaded-ass, eyes-closed motherfuckers mad that this isn't a Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, that's all I could read out of these reviews. I mean, they say, well, the combat's fun, there's strategy to it, the voice acting isn't that bad, it's got a good story, the characters are well done, there's all kinds of collectible shit, it's a lot of fun to go try to get them. We're going to give this game a 6.5. There's no, Cloud or Tifa and the final and the other word fantasy are not in the title. You know what I mean? That's like all that I could get out of these, and I cannot understand why. I'm seriously bothered by this really bad because you sit down with somebody who hasn't played this game and doesn't know what it is. You know what game they think it is? Take a wild guess.
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy. I swear to God, they look at it and go, oh my God, there's a Final Fantasy game out for the 360? I mean, that's how close this is to, like, Final Fantasy. Although it doesn't quite play like one and have the janky-ass story like one, I don't think, either. And it doesn't have the 8 years of you know, movie
right.
for that 10 minutes of gameplay, which was nice.
No rideable chickens either.
No rideable chickens either, no. None of those yet. Now, the story for this game is kind of interesting, okay? At first, it's really hard to do this game, I think, like, to talk about it, because at first I hated it. And a lot of people are picking this game up, and they're playing it for maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and they hate it, and I understand why. Because I didn't like it either, and I know what my problem was. I didn't know how the game worked, really. And it's walking you through a tutorial. So those of us that fucking know how to play an RPG...
But a tutorial about all the wrong things.
It teaches you how to do combat. It teaches you how to walk around. It teaches you how to... Now, right. I'll get to that. I know what you're going to bring up, but I know. But it's a pain in the ass, but... Like, okay. Well, the story, it starts out immediately with this story about, like, the Golem War. And basically that was a war in the past where it was this huge, like, World War type thing. Mm-hmm. And you had created, well, humans, man, had created an enchanters. You had, like, these, that's like a person type. they've created golems to do their fighting for them. And the problem with the golems was that they did not stop killing and raping and burning and pillaging even after their masters were dead. Mm-hmm. So these golems, like, destroyed the planet. Killed, like, everything. And they had, like, these super golems. They were called devil golems. They were, like, the boss golems. And, of course, you know, you can imagine you run across them in the game now, and they're, like, your bosses. They're, like, the badasses. Now, the game starts out with, like, a flashback. It's weird. When you're watching it, it's kind of a filmy quality to it. You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Kind of brown and shades of brown and black and maybe...
Like you're watching a World War II movie.
Right, yeah. And it shows this what looks to be like a very intense fight between a couple of people and this crazy, weird thing, which turns out to be a golem, of course. Right? And it doesn't really end or finish. It just kind of like shows you this crazy scene for a minute. And it's like quiet there. I don't think there was a whole lot of sound to it, or if anything, right? It wasn't like you were there. Mm-hmm. It was like you were watching, yeah, like an old movie with bad sound or no sound or something. It was very strange. And then all of a sudden you like wake up and it's showing you like the main guy, this guy Atsuma, who's in class getting yelled at by his professor. This guy, Professor Ko. And basically your main guy, Atsuma, is a complete dumbass. And they may play it up a little too much during the game. Because he's that dumb. But they do make it very funny.
He actually reminds me quite a bit of Naruto for a couple reasons.
Okay. I don't know what that is, so...
Naruto?
Yeah.
It's anime.
Well, I know that. But, I mean, I don't know. I've never watched it.
Okay.
So the I don't...
He's kind of a dumbass. He has some crazy superpower inside him, and that's why he's cool.
Oh, okay. That sounds exactly like this. Yeah. Okay, so...
He's too much, like, gung-ho and retarded for his own good.
That's how this guy is.
His burliness kind of covers it up.
There we go. Okay. Then, yeah, I can see how that would definitely do it. Because this guy is that guy. You know, he wants to fight. He wants to go. This is why he's, like, the good leader of a party. He wants to keep people moving forward and pushing forward and going to crazy things that normally you wouldn't do.
Right.
Now, he's got two friends. This guy, Toya, who's basically, like, this very smart... Now, you learn this right away. You get yelled at by your professor. You guys are in class. Your guy, Atsuma's asleep. Like, your main guy, he's asleep. The professor yells at him. You guys get out of class and head out to the cafeteria. And you learn about your guys, like, right away. You head out to the cafeteria to go get some food. And you get a decent feel for him. Toya, like, your main buddy, I guess, like, the one that you really like a lot. He's this very, very smart guy. And all the chicks in the school love him. Like, you walk around and, like, you talk to the girls. And, like, oh, Toya. And they have little hearts in their dialogues, you know.
Right.
And they're just, like, way into him. Now, Makoto. Now, this is a thing that I have seen in these reviews that people are very... They have a lot of problem with. Is this one character named Makoto. He's gay. I don't know. The manual says it pretty good too. I can't think of what it says, but he's like a something very flamboyant transvestite or something. The manual says it in there, and he's very bizarre. You know, his behavior is
he's very gay.
Yeah, which is fine because it's freaking hilarious. Now, I mean, they made it to the point where like it's absurd,
right?
Right, yes. And it's funny because when he's in combat and he's got these sayings and I'm laughing my ass off. His weapon is he plays a saxophone, right? He's like the bard type. He's got these spells. It's called the Fabulous Sax. You know, it's fucking great.
It's all like crystalline rainbowy. Yeah. And...
it's hilarious. I mean, it's great. But he's like totally in love with Toya, and Yeah, I don't know. It is pretty funny, but it's very comical how they put all that together in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they play on those characters, so right away you got a good feel of how good they are, and you're into it. And you're only like maybe 30 minutes into gameplay, and you know your characters, which is cool. I like that. Now, like I said before, these first like 2 or 3 hours of gameplay kind of suck. And the training thing that we were going to talk about, it does give you this little training, but it's a lot like my first RPG training.
Right, it's all the stuff that you should already know.
Right, which we do. But now here's the thing. That's annoying at first to me. Because when I walk up to a ladder, your smart guy, Toya, is like, "Hey, Atsuma, do you know how to work one of these?" You know, no, what happens? Okay, Atsuma walks up to like this dead end, and there's a ladder there. And it's like he doesn't understand where to go. He's like, "Oh, I guess we gotta turn around now." But it's funny though, it really is. And then Toya is like, "Oh my god, don't you know how to use one of these things? All you do is," and it's like, "walk up and press A, and then you can go up, press up, and you go up the ladder. Press A to get off the ladder." And he's like, "Oh, I knew that. Let's go." So they did it really, really well, built it into the game.
Mm.
Now, it may be dumb and annoying to me, but it was funny. The voice acting is not bad in this game. If it was on a scale of 1 to 10, this game is like a 7.5. It is not bad.
Yeah, most of the characters that I've heard have been quite nice. The main character, I do not like his voice at all.
He's not that bad, I don't think.
I don't like
him. He's not that. He's probably on the lower end of the scale, but he's way above that Yuki chick. If you ever saw her with the guns and the cowboy hat, she's fucking annoying and terrible. I didn't like that. But the main character's not that bad. I really don't think he's that bad. Mm-mm.
I did only hear it for a little bit in the very beginning when he was acting super dumb.
Were you watching the part I don't want to blow any of it. Remember, you realize he was playing up that when he was sick thing, right? And he was being bad intentionally, right?
Right.
Oh, the pain and all that.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you realized that he was like being that bad on purpose. Okay, I mean, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were tired. So I was like, oh, crap. Anyway, so I mean, you have to deal with quite a bit of that. I mean, like, seriously, even with like swimming and opening a box, like a treasure chest, I mean, you walk up and press A. And it's A for the whole game, which is nice because that's how it should be. You press A on something, and if you can push it, you push it. If you can jump, you know, whatever it is that you can do.
The action.
You interact with it, right? Everything is like that. But what I have to remember, and what all of us have to remember, this very well may be some people's first RPG.
Sure.
You know? So don't knock it for that. And if you actually need further assistance, it actually gets pretty deep into the combat stuff, too. There's like a little help system, a little tutorial deal, and you can go through every little aspect of combat. And believe it or not, I've gone through it looking for information on some of the combat stuff before because I couldn't figure it out right away. These are the things also I'll see people complain about is the combat. Well, not the combat itself, but maybe things related to the combat. People have been complaining in reviews and whatnot about some of the elements of this game in combat. Not as far as the combat goes. The combat's actually rather nice. Combat takes place on, there's like a good side, your side, and their side grid. Mm-hmm. The grid is 3 blocks by 4 blocks on each side. There's a front row of 4 blocks, and then it's 3 rows deep. You have ranged attacks, which go over, you know, kind of shoots out in there somewhere. Then you have the direct attacks, which are skills you build up. You have direct attacks, damage, or skill, and then ranged attack. You can build those up, too. But the combat, the people have the problem with it, really, is not the combat, because it's actually really cool, and I'll get into that in a bit. It's when you get out of combat that people have a problem with, is that you auto-heal. You come out of combat, and you have 100% hit points and 100%, like, mana. It's EP.
Right.
Well, and everybody's, "Oh my god, this game is on easy mode. That's bullshit. I can't, that's so lame." These arguments are from people who didn't play for more than like 2 or 3 hours, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought that was stupid too. But you know what happens when you actually play the game, when you're gonna review it? You find out, you get into combat eventually, you have 1 hit point and 1 mana point. EP is what it's called.
Right.
Right. Your character have vitality. And if you don't rest every so often, that goes to 0, and you basically, that character's done for until you can get somewhere to not rest, it's heal. There's like these little stations,
right.
You walk up and you can click them and it heals you, and they're usually in towns, something like that.
Except for in the first dungeon, which might confuse people, because in that first one I saw that they were like everywhere.
Right, well, I mean, at first you're getting used to it, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't really know the game yet. Now, a buddy of 2 friends of mine are actually 40 hours into this game now. It actually keeps track of all this shit. 40 hours into the game, and they said it comes to the point where those things are sparse.
Right.
And it's hard to find them. But you can buy these little gems that fill up your VP, your vitality points. You can buy them, but they're like, you know, 2 grand. That's pretty expensive. If you consider a skill for your guy right off the bat is like 1200.
Mm-hmm.
These things are pretty expensive. And where I'm at now, in fact, the first time I saw a Vitality gem thing for sale for 2000, the skills were like 5,300 or something, mm-hmm. and I could not afford this. I mean, this is expensive, so it's not like it's just free, but I do think they should have been more expensive. I do. Now, basically...
It's important to note that when you're out of vitality points, even if you heal yourself with potions after a battle, the next battle you have, oh, sorry, that went away. You're at one.
Because you're drained.
Right.
You are toast. That guy has fought too much without rest.
Nothing you can do aside from getting vitality points is going to keep you from having one
when you start a new combat. Battle. Right, exactly. Now, and it seems to me that the amount of vitality that you burn is based on how fucked up you got in combat.
Right.
So it's like you can't just blow through and hammer through combats and get your ass beat and everybody's almost dead and people are dead, you know, or knocked unconscious. And deal with it and be okay. You actually have to, like, you know, keep it together so you don't lose a ton of vitality. It seems like, anyway. It seems like, because I do notice the varying degrees of numbers dropping when I check in.
So in the end, this is the same as buying an ass ton of health potions and using them
but
at the end of each battle.
But it saves you that annoying fucking 5 minutes every time you're done with a goddamn combat of healing yourself.
But in the end, it's the exact same type of game mechanic.
Right, and I love it. Once I got used to it, you know, like, oh my god, I don't have to come out of combat and spend a good couple of seconds here healing all my guys. I love it. It's so nice. It's like, well, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I have to watch one thing that shows you your vitality for each character after a combat.
Right.
And it tells you.
In the screen that shows you how much XP
hit
you
points,
got.
And... items. Right, exactly. All that. Not hit, yeah. Items, experience points, your... whatever the hell SP was. I can't remember what it stands for now. Mm-hmm. Like skill points. Right, yeah. Your skill points. It's on that same screen. It tells you what your vitality is, so you can keep an eye on it really easy without having to burn all that time healing and whatnot. Now, so, okay, you guys leave your class, head out to the cafeteria, like I was saying before, and you get a good feel for the characters. You're talking to some of the random people. They're a bunch of girls, mostly, and they totally talk about how much they love this guy, Toya. You decide to go to the festival, and you're going to take your friends with you. You guys are cutting class and going to go check things out because it's a, you know, certain festival comes around. Seems a lot more interesting than going to class, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, Toya, he doesn't want to go, but he wants to make sure you kind of stay out of trouble. So he decides to go with you. And, of course, Makoto, the gay guy, wants to go with Toya, you know, no matter what. Classes be damned. So, of course, you have to, like, get out of the school somehow. But you, like, start heading out of the school, and you have to fight. It's like you're training in the game. You know, it's teaching you how to fight. You're fighting against other students. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. It's like the... I can't think of what they're called, but they had like a squad of kids that were in the school to make sure that your main guy did not do something fucking stupid. And you have to, like, fight them. Right? But you just knock them unconscious and go along your way. You don't kill them or anything. So you fight through some students and whatnot. Eventually you get out to the festival. And at the festival, there's these things called golem fights. And Atsuma, your main guy, he's very, very interested in doing it because, you know, he's all about, you know, like, oh, I want to see these fights and all this. You know, he's just hyped up. He wants to go do it himself now, but you need a golem to do it. So this is kind of what keeps you through in the beginning part of the game is this, I got to get into the golem fight thing, right? So you go find the tent, and there's all this partying going on, and people selling alcohol or drinks or whatever. No, apple cider, yeah, drinks. And, I mean, all kinds of clowns and shit, and the pizza seller guy. I mean, it's like a festival out in the center of town. And so anyway, you go to this little tent thing, and at this point, the game still blows, though. I mean, I remember sitting here in the middle of this town going, this game sucks ass. Mm-hmm. And I talk to this guy. He says, I got to go get these four little... tokens for whatever. And so you wander around, you talk to people, and they just kind of walk you through this dialogue. I mean, you don't really have to do anything, you know, but you have to earn these four tokens somehow. And they, you know, you go find somebody and they say, well, I have a token. Can you answer these four questions to pass the quiz? And it says, like, why is the festival here? What does this festival celebrate? And you get to answer. Three answers you get to pick from. And they're all ridiculous. Like, it's my birthday in a couple months. You know? You know, because your guy's kind of a dumbass.
Right.
So no matter what you pick, though, he says something funny. They have a little, like, oh, my God, you're an idiot. Then the smart guy is like, oh, the festival celebrates blah, blah, blah. So it teaches you the history of the world, too. So, I mean, you're learning about this game immediately from the start. And you don't really have a choice. Mm. It's rather nice, though, because you're already playing gameplay, something Final Fantasy games need to learn, I think. You don't need to just sit and watch a 3-hour video of the story. You can learn it as you play, and it makes it, I think, better. Because it's like you did it. It's like you were there or something, and you were interacting with it. It's pretty cool. So finally, you get your four golem tokens, and this guy gives you your very first golem. And it's just like this little guy that you control and goes along with you, because you can have four people in your party at a time. So, of course, you got your three dudes and the one golem now, and you go join the golem fight. And you can fight the first one again. You're kind of learning how to fight. It's telling you advanced tactics now. And then you wind up getting into this fight with some chick named Yuki, who is totally, what's that chick's name from Final Fantasy? Riku? Okay. Reminds me of her for some reason. I don't know why. But she's very annoying and kind of ugly, and she's got like this yellow and black cowboy outfit on and everything. But she's like a bounty hunter. She's like a Gollum bounty hunter. She basically does everything for money. That's what she's there for, and she's the worst character in the game. She's so fucking annoying. I can't stand her. But during your fight with her, all of a sudden there's like an earthquake. The rooftop starts caving in and all kinds of shit, you know, is going on. You guys panic and leave. She's whining because she wants to finish her score, you know, the battle with you. Mm-hmm. And you guys go outside to find like all the people in the town are like dead. They're not dead though, but at first you think they are. They're laying on the ground. Their life force is like completely drained. They're like barely alive. They're like barely conscious. They can't speak or anything. I mean, they're basically just shells of people laying there now. And the golems have gone just ape shit now. They're not under any kind of control anymore. And right now, it actually starts to get pretty cool. So, of course, you guys, you know, your group is like, oh my god, we gotta get back into the school now. You know, we gotta head back there where it's, you know, safety and figure out what's going on. Well, you get back and everything's tore up. Nobody's there. And there's like this mysterious sealed door that nobody knew what it was, right? And like, you couldn't go there and all the instructors at the school would keep you away from it and everything. And, of course, the door's busted open now. So, hey, we gotta go inside and check it out. Well, his pet dog, Coda, ran in there, right? So he's like, oh, I gotta go save my dog. And once you get inside there and start fooling around for a little while, I think this game really starts to shine. Because then you start getting into the random battle system a lot. You start learning how your characters work in the combat. You have a combo system. So depending on the guys you have in your party, they build up friendship points for how long they fought together. Mm-hmm. And the higher their friendship points, I think it tops out at 999, I think, they build combo points faster. So you have, every character has a combo bar. And if it's the same guys you use in combat all the time, they gain these points faster. So now at like 999 with the same four dudes, my guys are ready to do a combo at like round three in a combat. Now it's sweet. Right. And basically all you have to do to initiate the combo is it pick the same guy for them to attack. You know, and then all of a sudden they just bust out in this combo and do all kinds of extra damage to the enemy, which is nice. There's also an EX meter, which is a party meter, which charges up over the course of, you know, killing dudes in battle. Now the EX meter, every character has like a fat, fat, fat special move. And basically, you only have that one meter, though, to divide up between your three guys. So usually you want to use the burly one, or if you need healing, maybe you have a chick who heals, or some kind of character that heals, a golem, or whatever, you know, that uses some kind of a burly power or something to heal all your guys or what have you. It's a very nice combat system. It really is. It works out pretty well. You have a couple different, like, skill points you can put into things. Like, you have a direct attack damage one, hit points, your EP, which is like mana. You have your range damage. You have support. And you have agility, which, like, you can move around and not get caught off guard. Like, you know, they get the first attack.
Right.
This gives you the advantage, usually. You get, now these golems, this is like the point of the game, really, is running it, well, not the main story, but like one of the fun little things to do anyways, collect all these golems, and you have to keep collecting them, and you get their core. So let's say if you have like a boss fight, and you kill a certain guy, a golem, you get his core. Then you have to take it to a shop, and as long as you've collected enough gems, you can create the golem, you synthesize it for you, and he becomes one of yours. Now there's over 100 golems in this game. And you get to collect, gotta catch them all, gotta collect all these little, you don't have to, but ideally you collect, you know, a lot of them so you have a good range of power. Mm-hmm. And they have everything, I swear to God, from like a little floating 2D looking pumpkin head guy that like explodes if he dies and kills like all kinds of shit, to an anime looking, like she just stepped out of a fucking anime nurse with carrying a giant syringe, you know, over to,
Demon Knight guy.
Yeah, I mean, they have all kinds of shit. They got, you name it, it's in there. It's some bizarre looking shit to them. They got all kinds of stuff, and there's tons of them, and they're some of them are pretty neat. Some of them are pretty cool. I just got a guy I'm waiting to use. He's got like a machine gun on his arm, and he yells after combat, kind of like a big military guy or something. I don't know, it seems pretty cool. You know, you can get like little ones that look like robots. You can get big ones that look like robots that take up like four squares instead of just one in your combat. So again, that will add to the strategy of your combat. It's pretty cool. Now your main guy has something weird with his arm. The game is called Enchanted Arms. I'm not gonna blow the story because you don't even learn anything about the story. I mean, as far as your guy's arm, until like 10 hours in or something, or like 8 hours in. You really don't know a whole lot about it at all. But it's very good. Like I said, I'm like 12, 13 hours in maybe, and I am fucking hooked on this game. I absolutely love it. You do have random battles, and sure, sometimes it's quick. Sometimes you turn around, you walk 5 steps, and you're in a combat again. Sometimes I've walked for a good 30 seconds and not been in a fight, you know? Tell me that hasn't happened to you in a Final Fantasy game before. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it has. It happens in every game, okay? And yet I see it get knocked for it. And I'm like, but then you go find a review on Final Fantasy and they don't rip into it because of that same problem? Bullshit. You know, I get a little angry about this and I got pretty bad reviews because of this.
I do like when you're able to, like, put on shoes or some crazy crap.
Right, to lower that.
Lower or raise it if you wanted to.
Right, right. That would be nice. And I haven't seen anything like that yet, but I don't know. I'll let you know. The music for the game I don't think is too hot. I'm not so sure about it yet, because sometimes there isn't any. It's awfully quiet a lot of the time. But a good portion of the time there is some kind of music that I haven't been too terribly impressed with yet. The skill system, you can find, earn, or purchase new skills all throughout the game, which you have to learn first and then you equip them. And now after a combat, you gain, of course, experience points, but you also gain skill points, which you can spend however the fuck you want on whatever skills you want. Now, I mentioned support skill earlier, right? Now, when you get a skill, whether you buy it or whatever, you have two different groups. You have a combat-type skill thing and a support skill. And a support skill is more like a permanent buff. I want 20% poison resistance. Or 10% hit point increase.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a list of like five or six support categories or whatever, like slots. So you can learn any number of them, but you can only have five or six or whatever it is active at one time. Same with your actual combat abilities. So you go out and buy, you know, like a punch, and then like a fireball type thing or whatever, and then some kind of a heal, and all these different things, and you get upgrades. They start out as like punch, and then heavy punch, and massive punch, and mega punch, and you keep upgrading as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this stuff is based on elements, so you have like the no element elements, right? There's just nothing, and it's just a standard punch, which is, or whatever kind of attack.
Right.
Fire, water, earth, wind, light, and dark are the elements. Okay, so that's what you have, which is nice, because you don't have all these fucking ridiculous ones, like, you know, magma, and sludge, and slurpee, and, you know, whatever else. You don't have all this weird, crazy stuff like that. You just have some basic ones, and light and dark. Now, another nice thing about the combat is you have, like, speed combat. So, you can set up your guys to move however you want, and that's the way to go. That's the smart way to do the combat. And then when you hit, like, I'm done doing, like, picking my moves, it starts playing out these moves, and of course, like any RPG of the time, it's over the top. Lots and lots of effects.
Animation.
Yeah, I mean, it fucking bullshit. Just do the fucking damage, right? So you can actually hold down the Y button and it puts it all in fast forward.
Right.
It all still animates, just at hella fast speeds, which is so nice because it speeds the combat up a lot. And if it's something that you're just going to stomp, you know, and you know it, there's like an auto combat. You flip the right trigger and hit A and boom. Your guys just do whatever,
mm-hmm.
which usually is great when you're just killing something easy, you know, because you just need to kill it really quick. Or maybe you've already gotten five rounds, it's down to 10 hit points, you just need to blow it out of the water. You don't want to sit there and go through all your guys. And if you had to, there's a quick way to pass on all your guys, too. You just tell the one or two guys to do whatever you want them to do, and hit the left trigger, and then hit A. It says, you know, it says okay when you hit left trigger. It says just do the combat. Some people haven't gone yet. Yes, and only the one or two or three guys that you picked move.
Right.
I mean, so it really makes the combat very, very nice. And, of course, you can hit Y, and while even the quick combat plays out, it speeds that up, too. So it makes the combat not painful for this game at all, which is a big problem I have with a lot of, you know, RPGs like this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Too much spell effects and whatnot for just, you know, some stupid little thing that I don't need to watch 7 million times during the course of the gameplay. You know, I just don't need to see all that kind of stuff. I don't know. When you get a guy knocked out in combat, they get knocked out for 3 rounds. If you don't revive them in that 3 rounds, they're gone. You can hit somebody so hard, they're just dead. If you hit somebody, like, a certain... Like, if I can drop somebody in one hit way over their hit points, it says, like, overbreak. And they just, like, fall to the ground, and it just basically, you get extra points for doing that much damage. But if you hit them, like, way more the hell over than what they have for hit points, it says overbreak upper, and they just disappear off the battlefield. They cannot...
Those three.
Nope, they cannot be revived.
Wow.
One of the bosses did it to one of my guys, Primrose. I have this little girl with pink hair. She looks like Momo from Xenosaga.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, pink hair, little schoolgirl-looking type thing, with a giant fucking Gatling gun she whips out of nowhere. It is awesome. And, yeah, she got smoked against the boss battle I just did. It was bullshit.
The range system of the different skills is kind of interesting. A different skill, like, you might have one that it attacks in a 5-square checker.
Right.
Or one that might be in a straight line.
Yeah.
And you have to decide, well, do I want to make this guy so that he's really, really strong in this sort of situation? Or do I want to make him be able to attack in different kinds of situations? Yeah. And
it's very strategic, right? Because, like, those skills that you have other skills that do other things, and you can only pick, like, I think it's six, I think, you can pick to take with you onto the battlefield. I mean, so you really have to, like, know what you're going to want your guys to be like. It's pretty cool.
So if you have a guy that's, like, really strong in the front line and give him nothing to fight the back line, and all the enemies go in the back line,
I've had that
useless.
Happen. I've had that happen before. Mm-hmm. It sucks ass, let me tell you.
So you have to make sure that you're able to handle any situation as far as ranged.
Yeah, you really do, because, yeah, I've been, or if that guy gets killed, you're screwed. If you're only ranged dude, like, you know, far out there guy, right. I've had it happen, and it's horrible. I mean, you get your ass beat, you know. It's pretty tough. You really have to keep on top of it. Also, you get so many golems, the way that, that you pack these guys around with you, basically, is you store most of them at, like, the shop. So if you ever go to, like, a store, you can trade, swap them in and out. You have four guys in your main party, and then you can carry eight with you at the same time, but they're not involved in your combat. They're just with you, and they actually gain experience points, but not skill points, as long as they're with you, which is nice, because when you've got over 100 dudes in the game that you have to level up for whatever situation, it's nice that eight of them are getting experience anyway.
Right.
That you don't have to go out and, like, level a whole bunch of dudes up for no good reason, you know, or
but
for one
they also
one
don't
fight.
Get those friendship points.
They don't gain friendship points.
Which is also nice.
Right, yeah.
It's nice to have the ones that you're using get a little extra bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I don't know, I've been kind of getting into the making up some jacked up party and leveling them up a little bit. At least they have quite a bit of skill points, because you can level up, like, you know, you can put points to your golems and whatever and build them up however you want, but they do not get skills, new skills.
Now, does Atsuma have to be in the party?
You know, I've never taken him out, because I figure I'm probably going to have him the whole game, so I need him to be my burliest guy all the time. So I've never taken him out. Maybe I did try, and I think it's that I can't remove him, come to think of it. You can do online golem battles, though,
right?
Where there's no humans there. Well, no non-golems.
Right.
Okay. So you have just your golem collection to pick from online, and you get to fight other people over Xbox Live, which is cool. I like it a lot, because, you know, you can sit there and fight any other 12-year-old and his massive collection of golems that just rips your ass.
99.
Yeah. It goes up to some ridiculous level, too. Whatever it is, it's some retarded-ass level 1,000, I think, or some shit. Somebody was telling me that. It's not cool. You run into a Rip Torhole on Xbox Live, some 12-year-old that has no job and is out of school for summer, and his guys are max level, decides to rip you a new asshole. It's terrible. But the game is an absolute blast, and once you get over the fact that it's not Final Fantasy, you'll find that it's a very good, very solid game. And after you can get past that first, like, 2 or 3 hours, now of the complaints of the game, the camera controls ass backwards. You cannot flip the camera left, and, like, the way it moves left and right. So you just have to get over it. Lucky for us, it's an RPG, so it's not like you're in an action game where it's going to kill you at any point.
And some people prefer it that way. In fact, a lot of people must, because a lot of games default that way.
Yeah, I know. It just would have been nice to have the option. It has awesome videos, too, and not very many of them. So once you do a fat, like, devil golem fight and you whip this devil golem's ass, they'll show you, like, a nice video or whatever. And some of them are really freaking cool. Now, my buddy, who is, like, 40 hours into this crap now, has seen, like, 3, I think he said. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's only supposed to be, like, a 40, 50-hour game, but I know he is taking his time to properly build up his guys and collect all this kind of...
all 105, I think.
Yeah, whatever that number... I mean, we saw crazy numbers, but I think the solid one that you saw that sounded right was 105, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, overall, I think it's a fantastic game that I'm going to say 50 out of $60. It's really, really fun, and it's really, really good. If you can get past that first 3 hours.
Now, just for shits and giggles, since most games are still 50, if it was a regular game,
if it was 50?
If it was 50, what would you give it?
Okay, now that is interesting. I'm glad you asked that, because one of the things I wanted to say was there's nothing about this game that makes it next gen. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about this game that sets it apart from any other RPG, other than the fact that, you know, it has good combat, good story, good, this, that, the other thing. I mean, it's just a great game. So there's no reason that it would be less. I don't think it would be a perfect score game, but I don't think I would go down to 40 either. I'd probably, if it was 50, it'd probably be like $45. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
You know, not that I can really pick on anyway that bad. I have some, you know, the camera's kind of annoying. The voice acting could have used some work. There's a few other things, like you can totally screw the money system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm rich now. By spending 2 hours at the casino.
Right.
You know, I'm absolutely loaded. That, I mean, it really takes money out of the game. It's kind of stupid. Because now I can make my guys incredibly burly with just a little bit of time putting in all kind, you know, time into the casino.
The VP potions you want.
Right, yeah. I've got it now. I mean, I'm loaded now. But when I first got there, I hadn't quite rigged up the casino yet. But they just made it too easy to, like, cheat in the casino. And it's stupid because all of a sudden you're rich. And it just like completely obliterates money. And yet there I am walking around with, you know, 200,000 of their, what are the money units called? Like TB tablets. And, you know, 200,000 of them, like nobody's business. Nothing is more expensive than like $4,000 at this point. And I walk up to a treasure chest and I'm like, oh cool, I might get a neat skill. And it's like, oh, you found 500 TB. And I'm like, big fucking deal, I'm loaded, you know? And it's like every treasure chest thing seems to just have 500, 1,000, or 2,000 TB so far. And it's like useless to me because you just have so much money, which is a shame. You know, I mean, that really kind of hurts it. It took out any kind of challenge in money management in this game. Right. I just buy anything I want. So, I don't know. You synthesize weapons just like you synthesize your golems. You collect three different gems, power, mind, and something else, speed.
Right.
And so you have to be aware of those, but I can buy as many as I want. So I just make everything, and then I can buy skill points. You can buy them. You buy a skill gem for 1,200, and it gives you like 1,000 points or 1,200 points or whatever.
Oh.
And so I can make my guys incredibly burly.
Right, so you can help the dudes that you don't use all that often but need to.
Right, like, you just go to the store and you can buy like 9 at a time. Just buy them, flip to the guy, hit use item a bunch of times. Bam, he's got almost 10,000 skill points now for doing nothing, you know? So that's about it on that, though. But I love it. It's a fantastic game, and I think people need to take a better look at it. You know, it's not fair that it's getting knocked for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Somehow we managed to do 3 topics for the entire show. We'll see you next week.
All right. Later.